God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in DC, let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink. He could have done all those things. He spoke. He said, let there be light. And I believe that that indicates to us that God values words. And because we believe we speak, and we speak about the happenings in this world, remaining mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ in his kingdom, welcome to A Disciple's View. I am convinced the further I become discipled, the longer that I abide with Christ, the more willing I become to surrender, to see myself decrease and to see him increase. And look, I'm not saying I'm good at it. I'm saying the longer that I practice it, the more profound I am, the more profound I find it that people who don't abide in God so easily lie. And I think it extends beyond lying. And I'm not absolving myself. You know, when I was a young guy and undiscipled, I did plenty of exaggerating, if not lying. That's not true, because when I was a kid, I did, in fact, do some things to con people when I was a kid. And to defend myself, I thought, in an earthly sense. And it hurts me now to think of those lies. But I think people also become the lie. And I was reflecting as the program began about the topic matter at hand, and I brought to mind John 15, starting in verse 5 through 8 or so. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, and note that the Lord says, if you do not remain in me, you are like branches that thrown away and wither. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. He again invokes the word if. In verse 7, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. That's verse 7. That's often misinterpreted, I think, to say, gosh, if we pray in the Lord Jesus' name, all will be done. Well, if you're abiding in his will, if you're praying according to his will, and that would be abiding in his thought structure, his morality, the perfect morality of God, then the dear to this, the opposite would be departing completely from God. Not just not abiding, but non-servium. I will not serve. One of the first declarations Satan makes, I'm not going to serve. The first departure, the first turning from God. On something as grave and as significant as what we see with Maui, I know that the debates are going on. And incidentally, we'll talk about that tomorrow. I promise we'll talk about that tomorrow. I will just tell you a heads up. I consider it a well-managed stage show. And look, I've worked in DC. I know how the debates work. So to me, it's just a stage show. Maui is indicative of something much larger to me. So is, in fact, Ukraine. And we're going to spend some time on that tomorrow. Becoming the lie, I think you become unable to see the truth. Obviously, the metaphor of the Lord Jesus as the truth, the life, and the way, and that's maybe not even a metaphor, that's just a fact, but the metaphor of him as the light. Light shines in the darkness, the darkness does not overcome it, to put on the light of Christ. Right? In the light, you see all, or most. In the darkness, you see very little, if not nothing. So I don't mean to judge this guy, Bill Ware. I mean to be discerning. I don't know him. I don't know his heart. I know where he works, and I know this company, CNN, and I know in my mind it is a huge stack of lies upon lies. We all heard Joe Biden. We've all heard the catastrophically insensitive things he said. Many of us watched him appear to fall asleep around these grieving families. So this is an example here in this audio clip. This is an example of what I mean by becoming the lie. This is CNN's Bill Ware.
President and Dr. Biden spent several hours both over Lahaina on the ground here and meeting with both first responders and victims of this tragedy at the big shelter, the War Memorial Shelter in central Maui. And he said the right things in many cases. When he came to the microphone to give his statements, he said the thing that a lot of folks I've been hearing from for 2 weeks have been saying, that he wants Maui, the people of Maui, to help determine how this place is rebuilt. There was a question as to who will have the most influence in that conversation going forward. Locals here, working class Native Hawaiians and multi-generational locals, are worried of disaster capitalism, people moving in to exploit this and buy up as much land as they can in this paradise and rebuild it for their interests as well. The president says, promises that that won't happen. It remains.
That's an interesting promise. Was that your observation? Did Joe Biden say all the right things when he joked about almost losing his Corvette? I hope that was a joke. Or do I? And his cat? Man, that's some hot pavement, dude. That's some hot ground, man. He said all the right things? I've often wondered, in the role of what I sometimes call spokesliar, that there are people who are paid to lie in Washington, D.C. They're called spin doctors for a reason. That's often tortured me, because I've met some of them. And they're just workaday people in a way. But on the other hand, so many of them hunger for the TV screen. And I'm quite aware, I'm truly aware of how people could perceive that as hypocrisy from me. Given that here we are on AFR, this station's this network that's 182 stations large, not to mention online. I hope you listen online into the podcast. The team spends a lot of time on that. And yet, to be frank with you and fully transparent, I don't hunger for this. I feel this is what God has asked me to do. In point of truth, I would far prefer it to be being a CrossFit coach. But where is my talent for that? I think this is where God wants me. I'm not hungry for fame, but man, I am humbled. Such a pleasure to spend time with you. That part I love. But the TV cameras and the fame, that really does get to some people. And it can be a reason that people understand the culture in which they work. And the culture in which they work is, hey, here we defend Biden. That's our job. That's our role in the media ecosphere. Fox News has a different role. And they're the same company behind the scenes. Fox News funds, I'm not kidding, they send donations to a satanic temple, to Planned Parenthood. They have pushed a gender ideology upon their staff. They're the same company behind the scenes, but the product is different. R versus D, R good, D bad. That's one of the reasons that I look at tonight as a carefully managed stage show. So Bill Ware tells us, Joe Biden said all the right things. Does he believe that, Bill Ware? Maybe he does. Maybe he was unbothered by the jokes. Maybe he didn't see them, and yet he was there. Now, this gentleman we're about to hear from, he could certainly use more grace in his truth-telling, but I believe this man, and his video got millions of views. I believe he speaks for many people in Maui.
But hearing you talk about your house that, you know, had a little fire, you almost lost your cat and your Corvette. There are children that were incinerated to ash. You old man. You vile human being.
And like I said, the Lord Jesus modeled telling truth wrapped in grace. And I I don't like the tone, but man, I bet there's people who can't stand my tone. I really do. But it's true. The waiting until two vacations, which is what the people who run Joe Biden did. They had him wait for have two vacations before he went there. And then to show up and act this way. It's deserving of that sort of criticism. So how is it that some people can view this and say, no, he did the right thing? I was, again, looking at media coverage on this and reading people from the left who are doing everything they can to manufacture some goodness about this, the empathizer in chief. Did you find any of that empathetic? We're so very broken that so many people have become the lie. And it works like this. I can give you some insight. I know people in talk radio who at one point had national programs and they had them taken away because they would not back President Trump. They wouldn't change their minds. I admire them. And I can't tell you who they are because that'd be violating something, but I admire that. Because they stood by and they lost some very big money, big influence. That's the right decision. If that's your conscience, that's the right decision. I can also tell you that there were people who have national footprints who were dead set against President Trump and were warned, you will change your tone. You will change your outward opinion, or you will not have a national footprint. And so they gave in. Now, it's quite possible that they've now come to appreciate how President Trump governed, or looking at the alternative, it's he or Biden, apparently, that they now have true zeal. But that's kind of how it happens sometimes. The body doesn't want to lie. The mind, the soul, we don't want to lie, so we can begin to change our feelings after we were told to change our opinion. And I've seen it happen all too often in media. There is a drug some people experience with so-called fame. It's very potent. And it happens to be my real belief, by the way, and we'll hear this in this audio clip, that the comforter in chief expectation is both a mistake. And I believe it's a slight at God, but it's been
set. East Palestine's mayor says there is probably more.
The expectation has been set. And this is the mayor of East Palestine, Ohio, calling out Joe Biden for skipping his village.
East Palestine's mayor says there is probably more the White House could do to help expedite the cleanup. But it has been 170 days now since President Biden said he would come visit. And there still aren't any plans in place for that visit to happen.
They're a no-show here, and you know they haven't been around, haven't really heard from them. But now that you know everything's calmed down, it would be nice to have him come, show that you know he cares about the village, and you know he can see what's actually going on here.
So, if you're going to set that expectation, and the party of government did set that expectation, then keep the expectation and make it apply equally. I think I know why. The people who run Joe Biden don't have him there, and it's part of the lie. We continue. I've been calling it a stage show. The debate tonight on the network that is at the top in the executive suite, pretty similar to CNN. There's a guy who should be on stage mathematically, but he's not. So you'll hear from Larry Elder as we continue. This is Disciples View. My name is Todd Herman. I hope I didn't offend anybody by saying I don't hunger for this. I am honored to be here, and I love doing it. I love chatting with you. Live radio is a very special medium. It is far different from podcasting. And, you know, I do 2.5 hours of podcasting content every weekday. You can get it at thetoddhermanshow.com. I like doing that. I love doing this. Because if you've done this enough, you can kind of feel the audience. And it is a very much of a family feeling. And I've, look, the people who listen to my cast have been with me for nearly a decade, most of them. Came across me when I filled in for Rush all those years, God rest Rush. So I don't want to sound ungrateful. I'm certainly not. I'm deeply grateful. But it's not a hunger. And I think God protects some people from the hunger, because the hunger is the addiction to the fame. And that's how we got to Bill Ware. And my questions about him in the last segment, saying that Joe Biden said all the right things in Hawaii. He certainly did not. Coming up tonight on Fox, which has lost me forever. And I never was a big consumer. I haven't had a TV for 16 years. So I watched some clips for show research. But they completely lost me when they got rid of Tucker Carlson. And when I began to read about the reality of how Fox is now managed at the top, way back in the day, I did a project. I did a project for Roger Ailes. I'd never met Roger, but I did it through a very, very close contact with Roger and got to know a little bit about the culture then. It's far different now. What with funding Planned Parenthood and satanic temples, etc. So Fox, which gives those donations to the satanic temple, as I said, to Planned Parenthood, to the Trevor Project, if you don't know that, they educate sexually and chemically mutilating children. They're hosting a carefully curated stage show tonight, but Larry Elder will not be on stage.
As you can see, I'm at LAX in route to Milwaukee. I was just informed by the RNC that I'm not qualified for the debate. Why? Even though I exceeded the 40,000 individual donations required, even though I signed the pledge to support the eventual nominee, even though I submitted 3 polls where I was at least at 1%, I was informed that one of the polls is not eligible. It's the Rasmussen poll, even though it was the most accurate poll in predicting that Donald Trump would win in 2016. They say it is affiliated with Donald Trump, and therefore it is not eligible. And I said to Ronna McDaniel, the chairwoman of the RNC, it's not affiliated with me. She said any poll affiliated with any candidate is not eligible. And no one told me that until just now. So we're filing an emergency injunction to get me up there. This is absolutely BS. One of the candidates, by the way, offered a $20 gift certificate for a $1 donation. That apparently is okay. Another one offered a free, air quotes, country western concert for a $1 donation. That apparently is okay. Another one offered a commission to prospective donors to get other prospective donors. That apparently is okay. But I did it the old-fashioned way, asking people to support me by going to LarryElder.com, and that is not okay. And now all of a sudden, I'm not eligible. It is designed, in my opinion, to make sure that Ron DeSantis is a nominee. Anybody other than Trump. This is BS. I will see you in Milwaukee.
So Larry Elder is a very eloquent man and a long-time activist and talk show host, a deep intelligence, broad base of knowledge. And he knows this. And I hope to explain this in a way that doesn't sound bitter, because I have no bitterness. It was a dual-edged sword working at the RNC. It was fascinating. I believe God put me there for a reason. But I wept. I went into a church after the election, and I dropped to my knees and I wept. I wept for being part of it. It happened to be a Catholic church. It was just the nearest church. And I knelt and I wept. And the priest came out. He started to approach me, and then he just had this look of recognition, and I felt like he was saying, oh, I've seen this before. Yeah, I should leave him alone. And I'm not Catholic. I was brought to Christ by Catholics. I'm a born-again Christian, but yeah, I kind of regretted that, but I don't regret the knowledge. The Republican National Committee is a private club, and you're not a member. And the system that we've decided to have, where tax dollars pay for the elections of private clubs, because that's what they do. Our tax dollars pay to monitor the election of two private clubs. And we don't have board seats and we have very little influence. And in the case of the RNC, you have none, unless you're part of the state party system. And you can do that. You can take over state parties. So this is why it's tightly curated. And it is as well, not the content of the questions. I think Fox does that better than far, far most. But the construct of the event and the lines and the sort of topics we will cover and not cover are very, very tightly coordinated. And so are some of the just backhanded ways that, oh, hey, here's a man on a street and he has concerns. He has deep concerns about the nation, so he's voting for Ron DeSantis. And then you look at the nationalpulse.com and the guy who runs that, it took him about 15 minutes to figure out that young man is actually a political activist working for a group who's pledged $70 million to make sure President Trump is not reelected. Well, if he can find that out, they can too. So it's just very carefully crafted. I'm not certain that's good for the country. And the consequences of that is we'll report on the debates tomorrow and talk about what's said, but understand that from my particular point of view, we're reporting on a stage show. And President Trump, of course, is going to be with Tucker Carlson, and that's important. We're going to talk about that in a second. It's of course, a fascinating decision, and I can see both sides. I can see the argument that it's cowardly of President Trump to not go debate, and I can also see from a purely political perspective, no, I mean, turn it into the kid table. Turn it into, oh, you mean, why would I go to the VP debate? I'm not going to be VP. I'm going to run for president. So I can see both sides on that. But I'm not certain that the stage shows are good for democracy. In fact, to tell you, I think they're not good for our republic. The New York Times. This is so fascinating that people can write allow a headline like this to live on their on their pages, and then only change it after there's pushback from us little tiny folk. This was a guest essay in the New York Times. Elections are bad for democracy. A few hours later, they updated this. The worst people run for office. It's time for a better way. So they updated it because I think, well, people pushed back and said, well, that's awfully odd. That's an odd thing to say. But the slug of the article, first paragraph, was still there as well. On the eve of the first debate of the 2024 presidential race, trust in government is rivaling historic lows. Officials have been working hard to safeguard elections and assure citizens of their integrity. But if we want public office to have integrity, we might be better off eliminating elections altogether. Well, that would be one way to go. Officials have been working hard. They have? Didn't we just talk about becoming the lie? A federal judge has determined that requiring ballots to have registration numbers that match registration records violates the 1964 Civil Rights Act, Voting Act. It is a violation of civil rights for your documents to match. Now, the undertone to this is, and I'll just be blunt, you could say it this way. Well, the blacks, they can't go out and get proper paperwork. But of course, that's brutally racist. But that's the undertone. So that's actually not working hard at election integrity. It's the opposite. It's working hard to make fraud easier and welcome. So becoming the lie on an individual basis, and I don't mean to pick on Bill Ware. I don't mean to take him and make him a punching bag. I just look at his comments in the first hour about Joe Biden said all the right things. And I match that up here to officials are working hard to secure our elections. I match that up and I see this trend of, wow, you guys, do you know that you've become the lie? Larry Elder's being kept out of the debate because of the Rasmussen poll. When you are trying to get into a private club's event, the private club can choose any reason at all to keep you out of the private club's event. It's their event. And I think that's what they're doing. We're going to go in depth on this tomorrow, in this audio clip here, but Tucker Carlson continues to speak of things that are not to be addressed in ways that are not to be discussed. And this topic's perhaps the most important in a generation.
Pretty much everything that NBC News and the New York Times have told you about the war in Ukraine is a lie. The Russian army is incompetent, they claim. Ukraine is a democracy. Vladimir Putin is Hitler and he's trying to take over the world. Thankfully, the Ukrainians are winning. None of that is true. Every claim is false, the last one especially. The Ukrainian army is not winning. In fact, it's losing badly. Ukraine is being destroyed. Its population is being slaughtered in lopsided battles with a technologically superior enemy, or scattered by the millions to the rest of the globe as refugees. Ukraine is running out of soldiers. As that happens, the question will inevitably arise, who's going to replace them? If the Ukrainians can't beat Putin, who will? The answer, of course, will be us. American troops will fight the Russian army in Eastern Europe. That's most likely. And the assumption is we'll win. But will we win? Probably not, says former Army Colonel Douglas MacGregor, a decorated combat veteran who advised the Secretary of Defense in the last administration. The U.S., says MacGregor, is on the brink of a catastrophic war that could very easily destroy us. Few Americans seem to understand that, but they should. Doug MacGregor is now the CEO of Our Country, Our Choice, and we sat down with him recently.
Tomorrow, we're going to get some of that for you. I beg you to listen with an open heart to this. I don't doubt at all the men and women who fight for us. They're the very, very best of us. And I don't say that as a mantra. If I continued to talk about them, I would fall into tears. I have that deep a respect for them. And what Colonel MacGregor shares about our state of readiness matches up exactly with what I've been told by other people, like retired lieutenant generals, actually brigadier colonels who lost their command because they would not get injected. So that is a topic that should be addressed perhaps for most of the debate, but so should this. In 2020, I said COVID is the election, and the election is COVID. In 2023, I'm saying the always-on emergency worked for them once. Why not use it again?
COVID is making a comeback this summer, so many of us would like to leave it in the past, but cases are once again on the rise. So when will new booster shots roll out? Ann Thompson asked the CDC director.
This summer, most Americans left COVID in the past, gathering together once again mask-free. But tonight, signs of a COVID resurgence. Across the country, COVID hospitalizations jumped more than 14% in the most recent week, but far lower than pandemic levels. NBC News medical contributor Dr. Kavita Patel.
What's behind this uptick in COVID that we're seeing?
The main driver of this is a variant that's relatively newer to the scene, EG5.
So let's break this down a little bit. If you had three people in your COVID ward who were sick with COVID, number one, they're likely to be an average age of about 80. Number two, they're likely to have 2 to 3 comorbid factors like obesity, low vitamin D, existing grievous health conditions. Not that they're not valuable human beings. They are just as valuable as me or anyone else. But if you have three of them, and then you have 6, you've now doubled your COVID population. Oh, by the way, on the topic of the variants, it is most common with upper respiratory viruses that in their extinction burst, it becomes easier for them to spread, but they're far less deadly. Well, that is unless you use an injection that causes the virus to mutate in ways that are less predictable. What we got to understand is we now have Tony Fauci coming out and declaring that the lockdowns were absolutely justified. He suggests they should be used again to force people to get injected. And this, he's also said that Maui was caused by climate change. Fauci wrote a long, long paper about how we need to change every way we live, where we live, what we eat, how we eat, when we eat, where we source our water, how we source our water, how our cities are shaped, how we drive, and if we drive. Because Fauci, as a great man, is science itself. He said as much. They're bringing this back. And having spent 2 years, 3 years now, confronting these lies, tomorrow I want to get deep, deep, deep into some of the aspects of this that have been wildly unreported in some of the COVID heroes. And if you've not heard about the COVID hospital protocols and how those are taking people's lives, it'll be a vital piece of information for you to have, particularly if you ever, ever face a hospital stay. We continue. We'll get to the Tower babbling. I also want you to hear from the medical technocrats' own mouths one of the reasons that they push so hard on the mRNA, why they push so hard to make this platform so, so vital to them. And it starts with a conversation where a guy says, why don't we blow it up? And Tony Fauci attended this meeting. You'll hear him as they talk about why they needed to scrap what worked and replace it with this modified RNA. This is The Disciples View. My name is Todd Herman. That next. This is The Disciples View. My name is Todd Herman. Thank you for the team, Randy and others, for putting together some new music as we continue to grow the show up. And man, it just happened so quick when the Wildman family got in touch with me. And it's such a fascinating time. I was just graduating from a pastoral residency that I've been taking 18 to 20 hours a week. And you know, we just launched this thing on the fly. It's fun. It's a fun thing to build a radio show. Because in 6 months, it will be really interesting to see how the show has evolved and how God has led it. Hopefully, I'll just get out of the way and let God lead the thing. Because funny thing, when I do that, things work better. Is that for you too? Have you ever had the experience where you look back and said, everything I ever really messed up, God said, hey, let me make something clear, bud. And you either looked at that and said, yeah, that's a good idea, but I think I got it handled. Or in my case, I was given a profound signal from God on two topics. And I said, I like the first one, but that second one, no. Guess which one worked? Guess which one God has said to me now in very gentle ways. Hey, yeah, I don't think you were listening to everything I was wanting you to do. I'll tell you a story later about my dad. I'll tell that today about so not wanting your kids to get hurt that you finally let them get hurt. Is that a weird thing? My dad was a social worker, but I watched him do this. It was hard for him. I'll tell that story in a second. To finish off what we were talking about in the last segment and the reason we're talking about it, and to give you what I observe to be the through line. We had at the top of the show, we had Bill Ware tell us that Joe Biden said he said nearly everything right when he was in Hawaii. That's simply not true. It was disastrous, emotionally unavailable, the utter lack of empathy to joke about his Corvette and the worst option, or almost losing his Corvette in a fire, as people have lost their children. And if he was not joking about the Corvette, I can't decide if that's worse or better. Two, the New York Times informing us that officials are working hard to make our elections, to build up election integrity, which is the opposite of the case. And running a headline in a piece that contends that we should just stop having elections because they're bad for democracy. If one could tell me how you have a democracy without elections, I'd love to hear that. To Tucker Carlson, with a retired colonel Army colonel, talking about all the lies that we're being told about Ukraine. The through line here, you can become the lie if you don't abide. And that's not going to gain trust. And then, of course, Lester Holt from NBC telling us that COVID is back. The numbers on this are extraordinary. COVID is barely back. Oh, and the way they can make it come back is they just take those PCR tests and they run them at a higher cycle threshold. It's a locked swindle. Easy to pull off. Why is it here? Tomorrow, I'll share a bit of audio with you around when Pfizer decided they wanted to build a spike protein-based so-called vaccine. When do you think that was? What year? Because that's what they built. What year do you think they first tried that? You'll find out tomorrow. And we talk about this because they're bringing it back. I think they're bringing it back for election reasons. So this began long, long ago. You'll find out tomorrow the date and the decade, unless you already know. But it's so vital that we understand that pharma, the Department of Defense, other parts of government have been planning modified RNA injections for years. In this audio, you'll hear a meeting of government-blessed medical technocrats talking about destroying the U.S. approach to disease and building it back better.
Why don't we blow the system up? I mean, obviously, we can't just turn off the spigot on the system we have and then say, hey, everyone in the world should get this new vaccine we haven't given to anyone yet. But there must be some way that we grow vaccines mostly in eggs the way we did in 1947.
In order to make the transition from getting out of the tried and true egg growing, which we know gives us results that can be, you know, beneficial. I mean, we've done well with that, to something that has to be much better. You have to prove that this works, and then you've got to go through all of the clinical trials, phase ones, phase twos, phase three, and then show that this particular product is going to be good over a period of years. That alone, if it works perfectly, is going to take a decade.
There might be a need or even an urgent call for an entity right. of excitement out there that's completely disruptive, that's not beholden to bureaucratic strings and processes.
So we really do have a problem of how the world perceives influenza, and it's going to be very difficult to change that unless you do it from within and say, I don't care what your perception is, we're going to address the problem in a disruptive way and in an iterative way, because you do need both.
But it is not too crazy to think that an outbreak of a novel avian virus could occur in China somewhere. We could get the RNA sequence from that, beam it to a number of regional centers, if not local, if not even in your home at some point, and print those vaccines on a patch and self-administer.
And is it crazy to think that that novel so-called virus could be foreseen by people trading patents for its supposed vaccine years in advance? That's how thick this is. It's vital that we understand this. And you hear the wisdom in their voices. The small g gods of the universe. Ah, yeah. So-called human wisdom versus God's perfect intellect, morality, and plan sampled in some sort of quick news stories and sound bites.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
This just in... Media reporting that travelers from Japan, a traveler from Japan has tested positive for a new COVID variant.
There's been over a 20-to-1 return. There's been over a 20-to-1 return.
If you had put that money into an S&P 500...
Stop, please. A traveler from Japan tests positive for a new COVID variant, BA.2.86 in Virginia. This is the second case of the new variant in the United States. That's what the news media is reporting, breathlessly. Meanwhile, speaking of the Tower of Babbling. This is today's cover, actually yesterday's cover of the New York Post. Now, mind you, we're being warned that travelers are coming from Japan with this new variant. So what are we going to do? We must protect ourselves. Well, the Arizona border, this is from the New York Post. The floodgates are open, literally. Post watches hundreds of illegal, they say, migrants. Interesting. Illegal migrants. Well, that's technically correct, I guess. Cross through border doors the United States has welded open. But dang it, there's a guy from Japan who's got a flu. Which one are we supposed to be panicked about? Under Joe Biden, there have been about 8 million people who have come in. Good thing that's not invasion. This is not playing well in New York, as we've talked about. Floyd Bennett Field in Brooklyn is going to be used to house illegal immigrants. And this is the National Park Service that manages that airfield. And so that means you're going to pay for this, but not for long, because these people will be put on airplanes and sent around the country to places anonymous. Oh, incidentally, the average American is retiring right now with about $1,400 per month in Social Security. It's my understanding that when these people get their checks, it's for $2,200 initially and then $2,200 per month. In the Tower of Babbling sense, that's just babbling. Try to make that make sense. Well, here is one take at this. If it's a cultural revolution you want, one of the things you would do would be to change the political outlook, the political views, the political expectations of a large part of society who's taught to expect to have what they want and get what they want and get it when they want it. Oh, can't end the Tower of Babbling without this. It's a memory of perfect medical gibberish from former Surgeon General Jerome Adams.
There's been over a 20-to-1 return.
If you had put that money into an S&P 500 and reinvested the dividends, you'd come up with something like $17 billion, but you think it's $200 billion.
Here, yeah.
You're okay. You're not gonna get COVID if you have it.
The clip is audio segment 3A. That's the Surgeon General, Jerome Adams, talking about face coverings and how you can make your own. I guess we don't have that clip. That's okay. We'll get that tomorrow. It was a memory from way back in the day where a Surgeon General pretended that one could protect themselves by folding a T-shirt many, many times and attaching rubber bands to it and stretching it across one's face. Just from a perspective of particle physics, no. No, it's far too porous. That can't work. Here's a way to measure this, by the way. When you put something over your face and walk into a fruit section of a grocery store, if you can smell the fruit, you are breathing virus. That's one way to measure it, because those are actually pieces of the fruit. So we do this segment to point out what I think God is doing is saying, look at the wise. Let's put them up on a stand. Let's turn them to their own devices. Let's put them on display for all to see. And then those of us in the spirit can measure their motives. Is it selfish ambition? Is it conceit? Is it lording over others? Is it sexual immorality and all brands of that? Is it coveting? Is it infighting? Or is it peace, love, joy, charity, forbearance, self-control, long-suffering? It's a real quick mental chart to say, who are we dealing with here? Because sometimes that can be hard. I promise to tell you this story, and I think it's a good one, for we want so badly to have our kids not hurt that sometimes we hurt our kids. You ever done that? You want so very badly to your kids to avoid pain, and so by helping them avoid pain, you end up hurting them. There is a Hebrewic phrase, and I sometimes just, I accidentally butcher this in paraphrasing it, but it goes a little bit like this. When you're lenient but should be firm, you will eventually be cruel when you should be kind. My dad was a social worker, master's in social work, and great big man. I've told you about him a little bit. Farmer strong, broken axe handle over his knee, could lift up massive big hay bales in both hands, one in each hand. Wasn't in shape, but gosh, he was strong. And he was gentle. He loved kids. He dedicated his life to helping kids as a social worker. Couldn't stand to see him hurt. My young half-brother, Charles, who I dearly love, he was a good kid, really good kid, except for one thing. He didn't believe anything could hurt him. He's since learned that things could hurt him, and God has helped him with those lessons, and he's a grown man with a family, and he's a fine father. When he was this little boy with really kind of shocking orange hair, and he was born with a curly head of hair. None of us in our family, on our side, had curly hair, but from his mom's side, they had curly hair. I was sitting in the front room, and he kept approaching the wood stove. My father lived on 20 acres way north of Spokane, and it was a long time that you'd not have electricity. So a lot of it was just wood heat, and so we heated that. We had the stove downstairs just to stay warm. And Dad had that stove stoked. And Charlie was fascinated with it and kept going over in an attempt to touch it. And my dad kept telling him, Charlie, that's going to burn you. And he explained, son, that's going to really hurt. It'll be a big owie. And he kept approaching it. My dad did the strangest thing. He went into the kitchen. He got a bowl with a lot of ice in it. And he sat it down next to his chair. And then Charles went, touched the stove, and screamed. And my dad was right there with a bowl of ice water. And he stroked his hair and he comforted him. Sometimes God lets us get hurt when we avoid his word. Unfortunately, right now in the world, there's so many people who are avoiding his word, not abiding in him, that they're hurting others. And in the end, that hurts God as well. In the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and we speak because we believe. Thank you for listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. God be with you and your families every day and all day.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.